Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. I'm just going to give you a simple title tonight. We're going to call this message, Reaching Children. Reaching Children. Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid it not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." What a great command this is. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Even the disciples, the ones closest to Christ, they guessed wrong when it came to children. They thought, surely, he doesn't want the children around. Children are just a nuisance. Children are to be spoken to and not heard from, or whatever that phrase was that everybody told me when I was a kid. I don't mean to be seen and not heard. Is that what it was? But now sometimes that ought to be true. I understand that. But a lot of times, we discount children, and we will often think, who can we invest in that will give us an immediate return on our work? And we think, well, maybe an adult. Brother Andrew and I were talking about it yesterday and how we've been soul winning in some apartments. We've seen a lot of people saved. But sometimes you think, I want to go to an established neighborhood and meet somebody. And they've got full family, and they've been raised in church. They've been saved. They've been baptized. They know everything about the Bible, and they're tithers, and they're ready to go. Unfortunately, that's not where you start. The best place to start is with children. How many of you were saved before you were an adult? Before you were an adult. See, most of us were. Not everybody. And thank God for those who were saved after they were an adult. But the great majority of people who get saved as children. I want to challenge you this evening about investing in children. Not just generally, but very specifically in their salvation. Sometimes we don't. I'll give you some reasons for it. We want to pick people who have the greatest benefit for us. Right now, children have great benefit for us. If you think about it, they're an investment in the future, but sometimes you don't see that for a while. And by the way, sometimes kids just say some crazy things and you think, we probably don't want them on the stage. We don't want them where people can see them. You know, go to the back. A boy came home from Sunday school, and at Sunday school they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny was a child in kindergarten, and he seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill. And mom came over to Johnny and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" And Johnny said, "I don't feel well. I think I'm having a wife." Kids say some pretty crazy things. One of my favorite stories, I've told it before. My kids have asked me to tell this story just in the car sometimes, just because it's that good. Alexander Sanders, he was a chief judge at South Carolina Court of Appeals at one point. He spoke to the graduating class of the University of South Carolina. This was a 1992 speech. His daughter was a member of that graduating class. Her name was Zoe. He told a story about when Zoe was only 3 years old. He said he came home to find a crisis. Dads, husbands, you know what I'm talking about. He's walking in, there's a crisis there. Zoe's pet turtle had died, and she was crying her heart out. And his wife said, "I'm glad you're home, fix it." So he explained that he'd go to the pet store and get another turtle for Zoe. But he didn't get anywhere with that idea, because she knew that life couldn't be transferred from one turtle to another. She wanted her turtle, and she wanted her turtle alive. She kept crying. So Mr. Sanders said, "I'll tell you what, we'll have a funeral for the turtle." But she was only 3 years old. She didn't know what a funeral was. So he said, "A funeral is like a great festival in honor of the turtle." She didn't know what a festival was. So he said, "Well, a funeral is like a birthday party. We'll have ice cream and cake and lemonade and balloons. And all the children in the neighborhood will come over to play, all because the turtle has died." And Zoe's tears began to dry up. And she returned to her happy little self, and she was fine. Then an amazing, unforeseen thing happened. They looked down, and the turtle began to move. He wasn't dead after all. In a matter of seconds, he was crawling around just as lively as ever. Mr. Sanders didn't know what to say, but Zoe knew exactly what to do. With all the innocence of a three-year-old, she looked up at her father and said, "Daddy, let's kill it." Kids say some crazy things. I want to invest in kids this week, not just in kids, but in their parents this week. Let me give you a real story, a serious story. A Philadelphia congregation watched as 3 9-year-old boys were baptized and they joined the church. Not long after, they were unable to continue with a dwindling membership. The church sold the building and disbanded. I'm serious. This isn't a joke, right? It's a real story. I'm serious, all right? You don't look serious. I'm not telling a joke. This is for real. The church disbanded, right? One of the boys' names was Tony Campolo. He's now an author. This is what he said as he was talking about it. He said, "Years later, when I was doing research in the archives of our denominations, I decided to look up the church report for the year of my baptism. There was my name and Dick White's. He's now a missionary. Bert Newman, now a professor of theology at an African seminary. He was also there. Then I read the church report for my year. And this is what the report said. It has not been a good year for our church. We have lost 27 members, 3 joined, and they were only children." What a terrible way to think. One's a missionary now, one's teaching at a Bible college, and this other one's an author. Let me ask you a question. If you were to live at the time when Jesus was on the earth, and you knew who he was, what would you do for him? I think you know where I'm going with this, but I want you to think about it. If you were there and you knew who Jesus was, you recognized him in the street, and he was there walking or doing whatever it was he was doing, and he needed something, would you jump in and help him? I would. Maybe I wouldn't if I didn't know who he was, because I'm human like that. But if I knew that was Jesus Christ, I mean, this is the Son of God. Nobody else knows who he is, but I know who he is. I'll go ask him. I'll run up to him and I'll say, "Do you need anything? What is it that you need? I'll do anything for you." The disciples, I want you to hear this. Actually, look at it. It's Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. The disciples began to realize who Jesus was, and they were glad to serve him. In fact, they were so glad to serve him, they did something that you and I might think kind of below us. I want you to see it. It's in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem," did you find it? Matthew 21, 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage," Bethphage, I think maybe is the right way to say that, "unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now think about this for just a moment. Jesus didn't ask for something huge. He said, "Go get that donkey, all right? Go into town, there's going to be a donkey tied up. Ask for the donkey, say the master has need of him, he'll give it to you and bring it back to me." It was for the Lord. They may not have done it for anybody else. If somebody told you, would you walk in about a mile or so, maybe a couple miles, ask some guy you don't know for a donkey that doesn't even belong to you, ask him for the donkey and bring me a donkey, would you do that? Most of us, I don't know that we would. But if we knew it was Jesus, we would. Absolutely. Lord, anything that you ask, I'll do it for you. We tend to treat people better who we think can do something for us in return, or people who have a great amount of influence. I heard this crazy story. This is not a true story, and it does have a silly connotation to it, but okay, that's a bad way of saying it's a joke. I heard about this. I'm just going to tell the joke, right? So the Pope flies in. Can I tell a joke about the Pope? I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything. It's just a joke, right? But he's not the vicar of Christ. He's a sinful man like you and I are. I'm okay with this. I'm not going to tell a joke about Christ. So the Pope flies into New York, and he lands his plane, and there's a limo waiting for him. And he gets in the limo, and the driver takes off and he's just riding in the back, and the Pope says, you know, I never get a chance to drive. People are always driving me around everywhere. I really don't get that opportunity. Can I drive? And he pesters the guy in front, and so finally the driver said, okay, they switch places, and the Pope starts driving this car. And he's not used to driving, and he goes fast, and he takes it around. This is a limousine, all right? He's going around the corners. He's breaking the speed limit, and he gets pulled over by a policeman. The policeman walks up to the front door, and he knocks on the window, and the Pope rolls down the window like that. And the policeman looks inside, and he recognizes him. He says, just a moment, sir. And he walks back to his car, and he gets on the radio. He says, I need to speak to the chief. The chief gets on. He says, Chief, we've got a problem. I just pulled somebody over, and he's really important. And the chief says, did you pull the mayor over? And the policeman says, no, bigger than that. Did you pull a congressman over or the governor over? He says, no, it's bigger than that. Did you pull the president over? He says, no, he's bigger than that. He said, I don't know who he is, but the Pope's driving his car. Now, we have a tendency to think, some of y'all get that tomorrow. We have a tendency to think because somebody is higher influence or maybe more popular, then we're going to treat them differently. And a lot of times when it comes to the kids, we're going to say, well, you just wait here and wait till you grow up. Then you can do something. What I want to challenge you about is this week, starting tomorrow night at Vacation Bible School, we have an opportunity to do something great in the lives of children. Let me read you one more verse and we'll be done. And then we're going to spend some time in some organization planning for Vacation Bible School. Matthew chapter 25. Look at Matthew chapter 25. If Jesus was on this earth and you knew it was him, what would you do for him? If he was here now, you'd offer to fill his car up with gas, maybe wash it for him, mow his lawn. What would you do? If he was thirsty, would you get him a drink of water? I mean, seriously, it's hard to imagine because he's not here, but what would you do? Then you've got this verse, Matthew 25, 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, this is a parable talking about Jesus and God as being the king. The king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? When did we ever do something like this for you? And the king, verse 40, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You want to do something for Jesus this week? Let me give you an opportunity. Do something for one of the least of these. We get an opportunity to work with some kids this week. I'm hoping that we fill this auditorium up with rambunctious, energy-filled, loud children. That'll be awesome. We'll all go home with a headache every night. It's just going to be wonderful. Now, you may not get a headache every night. It's going to be a lot of fun. How many of you have worked in a VBS before? You've worked at Vacation. I love it. I love working at Vacation Bible School. I love anything that I have to do with it. We have puppet show. We have a skip. We've got games. We've got all kinds of things that we've got planned. The main reason, though, why are we having Vacation Bible School? We want to see kids saved. We want kids to realize the fact that they're a sinner, realize the fact that there's a punishment for sin, realize the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the price for their sin, and if they would accept his free gift of forgiveness, they'd be saved. The plan of salvation is very simple. And the Bible said, unless you be like one of these children and be converted, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven.